This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I am one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, I am getting in a jolly mood for the holidays.
Oh, that's nice.
And I have a complaint.
Okay.
That's not holiday related, but hopefully the holidays can help solve this problem.
Okay.
I'm getting holes in so many of my socks and I don't know why.
Tim, is this just like a really roundabout attempt to ask people to get you socks for Christmas?
No, I don't mean, need I to you ask. Could,
I think
get
you could
socks.
Just ask.
Yeah. I have in-laws. I have parents. Mm-hmm. They're always like, you know what Tim needs? Socks. And I'm always like, oh, you guys don't know me at all. But guess what? It's caught up with me.
Yeah.
I now am in desperate need of socks. And I don't know why.
Yeah. You know what? I bought undershirts recently. And I was thinking about it. I was like, I can't remember last time I bought undershirts because it's one of those things you like get for Christmas.
And you're like, oh, Mom. And
they're like, thanks a lot, undershirts. Man. I got undershirts, idiot. Yeah. I wanted the new Nintendo.
Tom, what are you buying undershirts the freaking the beginning of December?
Because
a little bit of patience, my friend.
I know.
You're gonna 2024, Tom, you're going to be lousy with undershirts.
I know. Right? Well, you know, it had been a while. You know what? This is what I've become better at in my old age. Half the equation. Throwing out socks, underwear, and undershirts when they're no good anymore.
Okay.
Like, I do not hang on to that stuff anymore. However, I do not, like, keep any kind of track of when I've reached the danger zone. I've gone too far and thrown out. Which
yeah.
makes sense, because you know, I'm not buying, when I'm getting underwear or socks or undershirts,
you're not doing
it's coming in a pack.
Yeah.
So, you know, or eight of them are going to wear out around the same time.
Yeah. Unless unknowingly you're leaning on a certain undershirt more than others. I'd be interested to know that. You buy a pack of five undershirts, Tom. Uh-huh. In the life, a year later.
Yeah.
I'd like to know how many times I've worn each shirt.
You don't think it would be the same amount of times?
I think like over 1,000 years. Yeah.
Over 1,000 years.
Right? Yeah, like a long enough timeline. Yeah, sure. It's all going to mm-hmm. even out. But I bet it's a little chaotic
so
in that first.
So
like,
you're doing laundry before you're out of undershirts.
Yes.
Okay. See, I guess I usually am, but lately I hadn't been, which was why I had to buy more
undershirts. My wife
is
far more diligent about laundry being done than I am.
So your wife does your laundry for you is what you're saying.
Yes.
My wife is far more diligent.
Well, because, look, I'm not opposed to doing my laundry.
Sounds like you are.
No, not at all. It's just that, like, traditionally, if I'm doing my own laundry.
Uh-oh. Traditionally, the woman does it.
No, if I've many times done my own laundry. There have been years. Uh-huh. But like traditionally, like I'll play it fast and loose, and I'll be like, if I am wearing a shirt, like a button-up shirt that has an undershirt under it, I'm not washing that every time I wear it.
The undershirt or
no,
the overshirt?
The overshirt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Same here.
But guess what?
What?
My wife is like, you gotta wash it every time. So I'm like, if you're gonna insist on this and be like, hey, like, and then be like, oh, you smell. And mm-hmm. like, it's, I don't smell. You just know that I wore this shirt a week ago. Mm-hmm. But if you're gonna complain about it, then like, sure, fine, wash it. I'm very appreciative that she does that. I do other things.
Sure.
I mow the lawn.
Tim, you live in an apartment. You don't have a lawn. Okay. I will wear overshirts sometimes two, maybe even three times.
Wow, well, that's gross.
But
you're
canceled. But I never wear an undershirt more than once.
Oh, no, God, yeah. No. I sometimes halfway through the day, I'm like, all right, we got to switch out this undershirt.
You sweat right through it?
No, I just feel like the scabs fall.
Okay, yeah. What do you think about this? Because I was having trouble when I was buying undershirts. The undershirts now that are long? Stay tucked undershirts.
Yes, I like it.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I had one of those once. I think it was when we were actually doing shows in London last year. Or maybe because like I went to other places in Europe after that. And I did. Yeah, it happened in Paris. I did laundry in the sink and then let that shirt dry, but it was like very wet. So that long shirt got like real long.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Where you're just like, let's see how long we can make this shirt.
No, Tim, it was some of the best discoveries, completely accidental.
We're like, hey, let's see how long we can make this, and maybe I don't even have to wear pants tomorrow.
I wouldn't have had to wear pants, honestly, because it came almost to my knees. Yeah.
I mean, I guess at that point, it's a dress.
It looked like a dress when I wore it. I would wear pants with it, but I could have gotten away with it.
The other thing about these stay tucked,
it also it gave me like a plunging neckline, too.
Oh, very nice.
I'm describing a very, honestly, Tim, I could have thrown a belt on this thing and it would have, I could have gone to the Met Gala.
Tom, I mean, depending on the theme, yeah, I'm sure you could have.
The theme was undershirts. old undershirts.
Old undershirts on like schlumpy guys who aren't famous.
Yeah.
That's the theme next year.
Worn out undershirts.
Yeah. Look, I think those extra long undershirts are also like for guys like you and I. Look, we're not in the best shape.
Yeah.
But like I also think they're built for like some like real beer bellies that like wear so it's like, yeah, stay tucked because like it's like, you know, normal undershirts kind
of belly's gonna take it 2 feet out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. So at some point I think like on guys without a big basketball style beer belly, it might be a little too long. Like
yeah,
I think we can admit that.
Yeah, well, like I said, Tim, it looked like a dress. I don't like those undershirts.
Yeah, well, I don't buy them.
I don't tuck in. No, and I didn't. I think these were gift undershirts, and I think I'm rid of them. I think they all got to just being too long. And Tim, this is how long they were. This is what would happen frequently. I would go to use the bathroom.
Poop on it?
No, I would just unzip my fly. And there's undershirt blocking what I
like
need to
do. The exit of the fly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where I go to reach in, I'm like, what the hell is this? There's no fly here for my underwear. This is a goddamn undershirt. Unbelievable.
Wow, Tom, that sounds
unbelievable.
Like, did you freak out and be like, oh no, my manhood has turned into fabric?
Dude, that was my first.
I might be turning into like a plushy, velveteen rabbit.
This
something.
Might be some kind of reverse Pinocchio situation,
yeah.
which you know I've been terrified of happening for years. Turning from a real boy into a puppet. Tim, let me. Since you asked me a question, I'd like to ask you a question. I almost like text you in the middle of the night the other night because I was thinking about this.
Yeah, feel free, Tom. Okay. By the way, don't feel like you can't text me.
No, that was like I'm gonna save it for the podcast. I'm gonna ask now so I don't forget about it. See, I don't know if you remember, but like years ago, or maybe last week, who knows? I had asked you. I was like, Tim, what would you say if I came to you and I was like, Tim, I'm being 100% serious, like I'm from the future. I'm stuck in a time loop, something like that. And I asked if you would believe me or not. And you said you would.
I did?
Yeah.
When
or
was
maybe it?
It
was, I said, like, if I told you I saw, like, a UFO really up close.
Okay.
So one of these things I asked you.
Okay.
I have a hypothetical situation for you. So you know about the
I'd like to amend my answer or maybe clarify.
Okay.
I think I would believe that you believed that.
Okay.
But I wouldn't necessarily rule out
you wouldn't
severe
think I was lying
illness.
Or,
right,
or trying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. Let me ask you this. So you know about like the Mandela effect?
Yeah, I know about the Mandela
effect. You know, and people always say like, oh, things used to be this way and now they're this way.
Yeah.
And like most of the time
it's like you misremembered something and you just can't admit that you were wrong.
The fact that it's called the Mandela effect is because when Mandela died, a lot of people said, I guess for Nelson Mandela died in the 90s when he was in jail. I remember. And nobody who said this was like, and I run the Nelson Mandela Institute. Like it's people right. that vaguely remember yeah. these things. But let me ask you this, Tim. If you woke up tomorrow and it turned out that everybody told you that Chris Rock had never been slapped by Will Smith during the Oscars, what would you do?
I honestly, Tom, I'm glad we're talking about the slap again. Also, two and a half years later, this right. is what the world needs. If everybody was saying it, including you?
Yeah, including me, that was like, I'd remember that. That sounds crazy.
Yeah,
And there was nothing online about it.
That was so weird. I would be like, yup, that was a hallucination or a dream or something. I wouldn't be like,
You wouldn't be so
this
sure?
This is why I was so fascinated by the slap. Because it was so like, everything down to, like, the sound that the slap made sounded yeah. like a freaking cartoon sound effect.
Right.
Right? Whereas, like, when you were watching it, you were like,
well, everybody thought it was a skit.
Yeah, and then I was like, they actually pulled off, like, the sound work yeah, at a live yeah. event, like, really well, like, the sound effect.
Yeah, usually it's, like, delayed the...
Yeah. And, like, it was just so bizarre. Like, that was the thing that was so fascinating to me, where it's like, this felt like a weird dream that you had. Uh-huh. Like, something like that happens, right? Like,
but 2.5 years later, you would be okay with, like,
much to your point earlier when you're like, I asked you a question a couple of years ago, or maybe it was last week. Like, I don't know. Like, if you told me the slap happened 3 weeks ago, I'd be like, oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Time doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, I've lived in a post-slap world for a couple of years. But, like, if you told me tomorrow it never happened, I would. I don't.
Now, what if, second hypothetical, what if you woke up tomorrow and everybody else had experienced Chris Rock slapping Will Smith on stage? How would you react to like seeing that clip and hearing everybody talk about it?
Wait, would I see the clip?
You would see the clip.
I'd like to see that.
So you would see, like, it would still have been a big deal, but you would have been from like another universe where it happened the other way, and you. Would you think I accidentally popped in the wrong universe, or would you think?
See, I don't.
I can't believe
like
I got
and
this
first
wrong.
Of all, this is what you were going to text me in the middle of the night about.
Yeah, are you taking back your invitation to text
please.
You?
Yeah, yeah. We're in desperate need to like film minutes on this podcast, and still I'm like, this is how we're doing it. This is a question you asked me.
Yeah,
Tom, I don't think like you where it's like, I entertain the possibility. The idea of like maybe I popped into the wrong universe. Like,
right.
I think I would kind of be like, I must have been wrong, or also like maybe I should go see.
Well,
maybe I'm having some sort of psychotic break.
That was my other question. Like, at what point would you think oh, there's something wrong with my brain.
Well, this
brain,
is the Mandela effect thing, right? Where it's like, I think I would be like, this is my own, like, I'm fallible,
mm-hmm.
right? And, like, I think a lot of the Mandela effect folks are just like, nope, my memory, I'm the smartest man who ever lived. Right. Of course, my memory is perfect.
But you're a proud sheep who will just believe whatever you're told.
If every piece of evidence in reality is telling me I'm wrong, in the case of the slap, in the case of Chris Rock slapping Will Smith, uh-huh. I think I would seek medical attention that, like, oh, is
somehow
there something,
I got this
like my brain switched. Like, let's take some X-rays,
right,
or like a CAT scan, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
and, like, but like. I don't think it's a sheep. I'm sheeple because I take a look at all of the verified evidence and it doesn't agree with what I thought.
What if this were the case, but I told you, no, I remember it that way too, Tim.
Well, Tom, it's Tim and Tom against the world.
Against the new world that we're in,
then
which is
you
not
would
ours.
You would be able to convince me that, like, okay.
Now,
we got to fight our way out of this
would
dimension
I then
or whatever.
Be able to convince you to help me make a machine to get us back to
our
home universe?
I think at that point, like, I would defer to you if you're like, oh, we got to, like, I don't know, like, go kill these specific people. I'd be like, well, that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is I could be very easily manipulated.
That's what it seems like. You're like, I mean, I guess I'd just accept it unless you told me we had to kill people to make it right.
That would do it.
In which case,
that.
Then I'd do that.
One thing I wanted to say, Tom, though.
Mm-hmm.
When I get a hole in my sock, it sucks because, like, I'm very diligent about, like you are now, like,
yeah, chucking
not
it.
Chucking it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it just hurt to be like, well, I gotta throw out the sock that doesn't have a hole in it too?
Usually,
because I'm not buying packs of identical socks. You
oh,
know, like,
really?
All of my socks.
You buy them one at a time.
No, I buy them two at a time. But, like, I don't have, like, five pairs of socks that are the same that I can interchange.
Well, that's why you should get five pairs of socks. Then you only have to throw out one.
Yeah. Should we talk about Christmas songs?
Yeah, let's talk about Christmas songs, Tim. It is the holiday season after all.
You're going to try to get me to kill people again?
You are the one who I just talked about making a machine. And you jump to, like, yeah, if we have to kill people, then fine.
What would we need for the machine?
You know, I don't know. It would probably hurt us. Like, some kind of, we'd have to, like, recreate the large hard-on collider.
Yeah.
In I don't know, a parking lot or something.
Yeah.
That's the kind
of
machine
I just don't know
I'm
how
imagining.
I could be helpful in that process.
But killing people?
Well, that, like, at least that's, like,
but
I don't
you
know.
Tell me the scientist or politician I need to kill.
Yeah. Do you think that, and this is probably a road that we don't get, do you think there's anybody listening to the show that we could activate?
Through what? Through, like, a series of code words?
Yeah.
I don't think code word activation is a real thing. I think that's just a movie thing.
Okay.
It'd be awesome. I mean, it wouldn't be awesome. I guess it would be terrifying if somebody could just recite a bunch of seemingly random words and turn you into Sirhan or whatever.
Christmas songs. Happy holidays, Tom.
Hey, happy holidays. Christmas songs.
Tom,
mm-hmm.
Just real quick, are you into Christmas music?
You know what? I was thinking, I feel like this year I'm not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whew. Beginning week before
Thanksgiving.
Tom,
mm-hmm.
My home has just been Christmas music. Like, I play music at all times,
mm-hmm.
and it's all Christmas playlists.
Even when you guys are asleep?
Yeah.
Wow.
We don't sleep. We just stay up. I keep my wife and toddler son up to listen to, you know, everything.
Well,
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Are you afraid if you fall asleep, you'll wake up in the wrong universe?
I am now. Yeah, I mean, just watch the slap on a loop, so I know that that is grounded in the correct reality.
That's the other thing. Like sometimes people in these like Mandela effect, they'll produce things that they refer to as artifacts that like didn't change. Right. So they'll show, they'll have like a tape that is like, look, it says Berenstain Bears or Berenstain Bears. I forget which ones. Or like, look, I found an old t-shirt, Fruit of the Loom t-shirt, and it's got the cornucopia.
Yeah.
The cornucopia thing's nuts.
Yeah.
Because everybody remembers that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also like a small enough detail that it's like, I mean, I guess I never really paid that much attention to it.
So there's no cornucopia.
And there's never been.
Has there been any kind of like in a commercial or something?
Nope. Nothing.
Are
like
we sure
that.
About that?
Yes. Like Fruit of the Loom.
Now, we're going to have to kill people.
Just
tell me, write in, tell me who I need to go after to make this right, to make the world make sense again.
To bring the cornucopia back on Fruit of the Loom underwear. I guess it brought it all the way around, talking about underwear and socks and undershirts. I mean, we've got three quarters of the show left to go. So.
Tom, what's the best Christmas song?
I don't... I've been getting real into late. You know what Christmas music I've liked lately is like
Josh Groban.
No, like classical music.
Nutcracker. Do you walk around going? Dun, 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 dun.
No, like I like. I don't know. I don't know the names of any classical things. I don't know who they are. But I like it. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't like, I think for some reason this year I've become sick of like the boom, blah, 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 like that kind of, I'm dreaming of a wife.
Yeah, you don't like a crooner?
I mean, if any time I'm going to like him, it's during Christmas time.
Yeah.
Although, you know what?
Perry Como.
I think it was 2 days ago, maybe. I was in the supermarket, and they were playing the...
It's offensive what you just said, but yeah.
Well, I don't know the words, but I like that song. I was like, oh, yeah, this song's a banger. That's not a crooner, but it is a Christmas song, a Hawaiian Christmas song.
I think if you asked most people on the street...
Mm-hmm.
They'd probably say these days, right?
Like, yeah.
All I want for Christmas is you. Mm-hmm. Right? Has that like become the staple? That from, and like oddly what? Last Christmas too, right?
Yeah. You know what? I was looking up the top 10 Christmas songs.
Yeah.
I forget the website I got like this from.
Probible.com or something. That's homepage. So
it probably was something like that. And those are listed as, excuse me, the top two.
Yeah.
All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey and Last Christmas by Wham.
All I Want for Christmas Is You, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Oh, well, Tim, I don't know if I can arrange that.
I think I just want your attention, Tom. Okay. I just want you to assure me that it was Will Smith that I want you to call me on Christmas morning and just be like, Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. It happened. That's the way it happened.
Yeah, and then you'll throw up in your windows, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Boy, what day is it? Boy, tell me, who slapped who on the Oscars stage in 2021?
Why, it was Will Smith who slapped Chris Rock, sir.
Merry Christmas. All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that what we were talking about?
Yeah, yeah. And Last Christmas.
Has that fantastic song, best song, has that reached for you like the saturation point where it's like, for me, I'm just like, I know it's a great song. Mm-hmm. And I know like we lived through when it was like a pop hit.
Right, when
it came out. And
then
like we were like alternative rock kids who were like, Mariah Carey stinks or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then like it came around, it's like, you know that song's actually really good, right? Like, and now it's to the point where it's like Hey Jude or something where it's like, I'm sure it's a good song, but I don't know.
But I just can't hear it anymore.
Yeah, it's just, I know every single nook and cranny of that song. It's like,
right.
I can't, there's well, no need for me to listen to this again. There's nothing I can, I'm dead to it.
Yeah, I don't even, I don't notice it when I hear it anymore. Yeah. And I guess that's like kind of a unique thing about a song you hear repeatedly, but not of your own volition, not of your own doing.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't know. I've been, because it's the holidays, like in my car on long drives, more often, and listen to, like, sometimes I'll put on, you know, my music. But then it always feels like now I can like skip music. So now I'm like kind of, oh, what do I want to listen to?
Oh, God.
So a lot of times I'll just put on the radio.
Yeah.
And
have somebody else make that choice for you.
Exactly. And a lot of times the only like station that I can just reliably find is Z100.
Hell yeah.
And they play the six same songs over and over.
Yeah. Are they still playing Rhythm as a Dancer?
They're not playing Rhythm as a Dancer anymore.
The last time I was in Z100 was 1992.
They're playing that Miley Cyrus song where she talks about when she was young.
Okay.
They're playing Olivia Rodrigo, Vampire.
That's a good song, Tom.
It is a good song.
Tom,
mm-hmm.
Olivia Rodrigo did a Tiny Desk concert for NPR.
Oh, okay.
And she did a really good version of Vampire. And I watched it twice in a row, and I almost cried the second
time. She was on SNL last weekend. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And she just played that on the piano.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. Seems like a real theater kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, is this a thing that singers do now? Like,
what?
They have like the Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs accent when they sing.
What?
Where it's kind of like this. They sing like this.
Vampire. No, I don't think so.
Is that what's in vogue for,
oh,
for the
Oh, boy, I don't know, Tim.
Gen
I mean,
Z
maybe
singers.
I'm just out of touch, and that
yeah.
is...
I think the songs are nice, and she seems like a nice young lady, but mm-hmm. like I'm just like, when you talk, you're not like this.
I don't think she sings like that either. I think she enunciates pretty well while she's singing.
I don't know.
I'll have to listen to it again with the idea of Jodie Foster's Clarice from Silence of the Lambs in
just,
my mind.
Yeah, just I urge you to listen to all music through that lens.
Well, that's like I remember the time you told me that the guy from Modest Mouse has a lisp, and I had never heard it before. And then once you told me, it was like, oh, how did I not hear this? Like, holy cow. Yeah, it's very prominent.
Yeah.
So, maybe now I won't be able to not hear Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
When I...
Which I think it might enhance the experience, to be honest.
Yeah, if I'm John Hinckley.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom?
Yes.
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep.
Oh.
Boop.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
But
I had to do the going up. To show you the going
down. You gotta go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest I don't do much socially.
Yeah, and you enjoy social things, but
I do,
but
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, and spread ourselves thin. Or just not know, kind of like, you know, where the optimal socialization is for
you.
You
don't want to be a shut-in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know. Maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/complete guide.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Tom, but I have one thing to say about All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Okay.
Are you aware of the song that they blatantly wrote to replace that song, I think, exactly for people like me?
That Mariah Carey wrote?
Or? No. That The Powers That Be.
I'm not aware of that.
The pop music Svengali's?
No.
You might know it. This is your gal. Kelly Clarkson, Underneath the Tree. You know that song?
No, how's that go? Ba-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-da-ba-da-da-da. It's produced exactly like it sounds just like All I Want for Christmas Is You, except it's like it's new and fresh. It's got that Kelly Clarkson sound, and to me, I'm just like, hey, this is pretty much All I Want for Christmas Is You, but like it's new to my ear in certain ways where it's like
I see.
I'm not like completely numb to it.
So
I'm
it's a new song.
It's like
or newish. Past few
it's
years.
Newish. Newish. Oh, Jesus Christ. Came out in 2013. But.
Yeah, I think it came out last year.
You know, I'm not.
It takes a good 10 years for the songs to get there.
I mean, I think to become a standard,
It
probably takes a decade.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's
entered the pantheon.
It's very funny.
It's hard to get into the pantheon too, and I think
that's true.
The fact that you haven't heard it,
I probably have, and I just don't recognize it based on your.
No, humming. It was a fantastic rendition.
No, it's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah,
I also think it's funny that you always claim that I'm real into Kelly Clarkson.
You are.
I'm not, but I was literally thinking this morning, like. You know who I kind of like is Kelly Clarkson.
You love Kelly Clarkson.
Have
you ever owned a Kelly Clarkson album?
No. No. I mean, I really
did. You
liked...
cry when she sang "A Moment Like This" on
American Idol.
In 2003?
I mean, I remember really liking "Since You've Been Gone." I thought that was like a really good pop song, and I like the cover she did of
Kelly-oki on her TV show,
the Radiohead cover she's done.
She did exit music.
Yeah,
yeah.
We hope that you choke. That's Kelly Clarkson's message to her audience.
Hey, she's cool.
Anytime I've caught a part of her show, it always seems like a nice time, like a fun time for everybody.
Yeah.
She seems like a good daytime talk show host.
Okay, we're a pro Kelly Clarkson podcast. Tom, wait until you hear Underneath the Tree.
Okay.
You're gonna flip.
Maybe I'll go out and buy it.
I think you should. Okay. It is on her 2013 album, Wrapped in Red.
So like a Christmas album.
Yeah.
Hmm. What?
Co-written with Greg Kirsten.
Where do I know him from?
He does a lot. He does like, he's Dave Grohl's right-hand man now. The new Foo Fighters stuff.
No, never mind.
Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Clarkson and Foo Fighters, your two guys.
Yeah, I'm just praying that they get together and make an album.
Yeah.
What do you think is like the thought process when a artist decides, like, you know what, this is the year I'm going to make a Christmas album?
Cash grab. No,
but it has to be thought about ahead of time. You can't, you can't be like, I should record a Christmas album. It's not going to be out that year then.
Friends of the show, Tom, the Gregory Brothers.
Yeah, they have a Christmas album.
They have a fantastic Christmas album.
And you think
album.
That's a cash grab? You think it's just a soulless?
Oh, yeah, of course. And they told me. That is like literally last year.
Yeah.
I think the only music played in my home.
It's all you need.
It was a little bit too much. But like, it's great, Tom. Yeah. It's great. Have you listened to this thing?
Yes.
But like, I remember when they were like recording it and I was like, guys, it's March. You are missing the boat on this. Yeah. You are months too late. And then, I remember they pulled me aside and they were like, listen, asshole, guess what?
It takes a little while.
Every December is Christmas.
Yeah.
So like, you might think we're late. We're bigger picture thinkers.
We're early.
Here. Yeah.
Early. We're not doing it for last Christmas. We're doing it for the one coming up.
Or maybe even the one after that.
Yeah. Well, but that I feel like is a little bit of a different situation because they had been doing Christmas shows for years.
Yeah.
So they had not only worked up like a catalog of original songs, they had their arrangements of classics. I get how they got there, but I'm saying like somebody like Kelly Clarkson, at what point is there like I've put out like six albums. Now is because isn't there like a rule about like, how many albums before you do a greatest hits and then a double live album?
I mean, laws, Tom.
Not laws, but I feel like there's like a general
best practices.
Yeah, like your fifth album, you can put out a greatest hits.
I think it's the same thing as when a celebrity writes a children's book. It's like, will somebody walk into a store and be like, "Oh, there's 10 million children's books here." Right. And I need to buy something for my nephew.
But this one's written by Dean Cain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or this one's written by Kevin Sorbo, right? And like, these are values that I want to instill in my
son to grow up like Hercules and Superman.
But I think it's that same calculation of like you walk in, and I don't know how Christmas albums go, but where it's like how record sales go now. But I think traditionally it was like,
right.
Are you enough of a household name that like somebody will walk in and be like, I need to buy some Christmas music. Oh, I've heard of this artist.
Yeah.
I'll pick this up. And it's a good way to move units.
Well, then in that case, do you think more often than not, is it the label coming to the artist and saying like, hey, you know, we ran some numbers, we pulled together some focus groups and people would like to hear a Christmas album from
probably.
You.
Probably. Yeah. Or it might be the artist being like, hey, well, I want to make some money.
But I'm also wondering that there must be some kind of like internal politics about, you know, a label doesn't want 10 of their artists putting out Christmas albums.
Cannibalizing each other.
Yeah.
I mean, the label has to agree to put it out.
Right. But I'm saying like when they're planning out their year, do you think they're ever like, nah, Kelly's putting out a Christmas album this year.
Of course. Xtina. Sorry.
Yeah.
You got to wait.
Who's Xtina?
Christina Aguilera.
Does she ever? Yeah, she probably does, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it came out in 2005. Let's see. Christine, we need a, Tom, we should hire a producer or we should hire an intern.
Yeah. Or we should just like edit the podcast better so that you're not just Googling things.
My Kind of Christmas came out.
Mm-hmm. You said 2003. That's too early.
October 2000.
Wow. What? Wow. Blown away.
Yeah.
She's at the height of her powers.
I know. And that's, I mean, that's a good time to do it. And
yeah,
also,
I mean, that
like,
was like peak CD.
Yeah, exactly. And like with an artist like her, mm-hmm. they didn't know that she they didn't know if she would have the staying power, right? Like right. It's not like let's wait till she's a legacy act and like has released like 8 you know, platinum selling albums, then we'll go in for the cash grab.
Well, and also because that was the height of CD sales, is probably, are you sure she just had an album come out this summer? They're like, yeah, it's fine. People love buying CDs.
Her debut album came out in 1999.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah. So there you go.
Christmas album came out in 2000.
Wow. So, second album, a Christmas
her
album.
Her second studio album was a Spanish language album, Mi Reflejo.
And that came out also in 99 or
2000? No, in 2000.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Christina Aguilera.
Yeah. Really doing it all, recording.
Tommy, you would like this one album. She has an album called Bionic.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, sounds
pretty
cool.
Oh, look at this. You like
that? Oh, yeah. She looks like a half robot, a half lady, a half Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
You think that album has like a lot of like machine noises and beeps and boops?
I would think so.
Yeah, like, Bionic.
Hydraulics and like things snapping into place.
Yeah, her transforming from Christina Aguilera into, I don't know,
that's
a car or something.
That's what people want to hear.
Man, now put out a Christmas album of that stuff and I'm in. You get some nice bells and you get some.
Is this why you're so into AI, Tom? Because you're like, they'll be able to produce that album just for me.
Yeah, I'll be able to tell them.
Sickos who want the Christmas album of a woman turning into a fucking car.
I'm having trouble getting into Christmas music this year. So maybe something like that. This is the kind of thing I need to shake things up.
All right, what do you got? You got a list of songs that you wanna?
Yeah, well, you know what? I've got a list of songs, or I've got some interesting facts about songs. I've also got like some less traditional songs. Which would you like to hear?
Spin the wheel, Tom.
Let me tell you. All right, I'll go with some interesting facts. Jingle Bells.
Uh huh. Tom.
Uh huh.
Worst Christmas song.
No, it's pretty good. Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin. Like,
that's no, Tom. That's the illegal version.
Jingle Bells, originally a Thanksgiving song. The rare Thanksgiving song.
Huh. I mean, it makes sense. There's no jingle all the way.
Yeah. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse
open sleigh. Just about a sleigh ride.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. 1857, it was written. And it was written for a Thanksgiving program at a church in Savannah, Georgia. You don't hear, and maybe that was it, that like the first and only Thanksgiving banger somebody wrote, it got turned into a Christmas song, so everybody was like, why even bother?
Yeah.
That's not where the money is. People aren't out buying Thanksgiving albums, they're buying Christmas
albums.
It
could be, though.
White Christmas is the best-selling
the turkey twist
single ever.
What is?
White Christmas, Bing White Crosby. Christmas.
That stinks.
What do you mean that stinks? Oh, boo, 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 boo. You said you like crooners.
Yeah, like, look, I like them at Christmas time. I like the other version of it. Who does the one in Home Alone that goes, doop, doop, doop.
Some dope.
Yeah. That's the one.
That's
not
Bing Crosby doing that one, too?
No.
I think that's Bing Crosby.
Really?
I don't.
He's like, oh, I'm going to like join up with a bunch of
dopes.
Yeah, doofuses. Some deep voice doofuses.
Well, speaking of Jingle Bells, Sam, the first song broadcast from space.
I'm not interested in them doing stuff. Remember when that one guy was like, hey, I'm going to play Space Oddity in space.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The astronaut?
Yeah, the twin. Was like,
is he the twin?
Yeah, he was one of the twins.
And it's just like, okay. Yeah, like, you're that guy at the party that's like, hey, I know some chords on the acoustic guitar.
And it's like, oh, great. It cost the government $5 million to get that guitar up there into that space station.
Imagine you, you know, you're like from another country at the International Space Station.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, what is it? It's us in Russia? Is that it?
No, there are other. Yeah. They no other country. Well, I think now China has the ability to launch people into space, but other people hitch rides on the U.S.
Okay.
and Russia's.
So, like, they imagine you're going up there.
They're Italian astronauts.
Okay, you're an Italian guy, and you go, and you're like, it's kind of like going to, you know, freshman year of college, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, who's gonna be like on the ISS with me, right? And then this guy, he's like, I brought
you
an acoustic guitar.
Lock, and a guy comes through with an acoustic guitar.
And you're like, ah, fuck. And he's like, I know four chords, and I'll sing a David Bowie song.
Yeah. Like, oh, and guess what? Since we're in fucking space, anywhere I play this, you're gonna hear it.
Yeah. Oh God. But do you think he brought replacement strings? Probably not. He probably had to be real careful when he was tuning that thing.
Yeah, because it would take a while to get some new strings up there.
Yeah,
I don't know. I forget. Like, there's numbers about like how much it costs to put like 1 pound of anything into space, and it's insane. So like, they really do. I think astronauts are given a, like, you're allowed to bring this many pounds of things.
Right.
And that's it.
And this guy was like, all right, no, like, leave some of my oxygen tanks. Oh, I got to bring my acoustic guitar.
You don't have to bring your own oxygen tanks to space.
What?
You'd show up the first day at the ISS. Don't worry, fellas, I brought my own oxygen.
Yeah, in case you want to take a stroll, a spacewalk.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer started as a store promotion.
I believe that. Everything about Christmas started as a store promotion.
For Montgomery Ward. Let's see. All right. You know what, Tim? These interesting facts I have about these songs aren't that interesting.
Yeah.
Let's get into...
Take that, brobible.com.
And all the top Christmas songs. I'll run through them, see if you got anything else to say about them. Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms.
That song doesn't rock.
No.
But...
Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock.
It's like half the speed.
It swings, maybe.
Yeah, it swings, baby.
but it certainly does not rock.
Hey. That song's so money. Doesn't even know it.
White Christmas by Bing Crosby, which we talked about. Santa Claus is coming to town.
When I was a kid, I thought his name was Bring Crosby. No, I thought it was Bring Cosby.
See, you put the R in the wrong place. Yeah. Okay.
And you're always holding up a sign that says "Bring Cosby back,"
right? And you're
outside NBC headquarters.
You're always trying to bring Cosby's records over here and play them.
Yeah.
Like, no, this one's very funny. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Okay, so is that
Santa
how that song
Claus
always was? But like. Or in the original version, was it, you better not go, Santa Claus is coming to town, right?
Yeah.
I feel like the pop music people got to it and were like, nah, we got to go.
Yeah, let's jazz it up.
Santa Claus, you know, like, hey, hit him with a zing in there.
Yeah, it said, da, 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 da. What is this, Bring Cosby? Silent Night.
You know what? When you're a kid, mm-hmm. when you're young, yeah, you like Silent Night.
Because it's different than, you're like, whoa, this one's like a serious one.
Yeah, and then it's beautiful when it goes, sleep in heavenly peace, right? Mm-hmm. But then you get a little older, you hear Oh Holy Night, and you're like, oh, this is the better quiet song about the night, because it's good to... then you go, you know, it's got the really high note.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really beautiful.
Right.
So, Silent Night, yeah, cool entry-level song, but yeah, I think we're all past that.
But we like our notes a little bit higher, thank you very much. Feliz Navidad by Jose Feliciano.
Feliciano. Yeah.
It's a good song. Feliz Navidad, dun, 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 dun. Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, that means, you know what that means? That means Merry Christmas.
I want to wish you. It tells you in the next, which is nice because you learn something.
Yeah.
I like Feliz Navidad.
First, you're like what the hell? What station am I listening to?
Feliz? I don't.
Have they changed formats on my favorite? Oh, this is exactly what Dean Cain warned me about.
But yeah, Feliz Navidad's like, you know what? I like the... from the bottom of my heart.
Da, 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 da. Da. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of bum, 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 bum in that song. Yeah.
You know what? That's what I like in my Christmas songs. That's why I like in the Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Dan, dan, dan,
yeah,
dan,
you
dan,
like
dan,
those. You like those stings. Those, yeah.
Yeah. Let It Snow.
Yeah.
Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow.
Yeah.
Ooh. Here's one.
That one's just about winter, too, and like how it's nice, delightful by the fire. And I agree with the sentiment. You know what? I got no beef with Let It Snow.
Well, and that's another one where there's different versions where there's like a, you know, like a upbeat and then a Let It Snow.
Yeah, the crooners are going to croon, my friend. Take it up with Seth MacFarlane, Tom, if you don't like it. He's the head of the crooning society these days.
Well,
Tom, you know what's fucked up, too, about this?
What?
Not about crooners, but, like, it's fucked up. Like, it doesn't snow anymore here.
No. Like, it didn't snow at all last year?
No, like, not at all.
Yeah, we
and, like, remember when we were kids and it'd be like, oh, you know, we're recording this on December 14th. Mm-hmm. Remember, like, in December, like, sometimes there'd be, like, feet of snow?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen anymore.
Well, and then I remember...
I think something's going on.
Well, then I remember, like, my parents telling me about, like, oh, when I was a kid, one time it snowed, you know, 8 feet.
Yeah.
And we built an entire lodge out of snow. It was great.
And you're like, you're exaggerating, but yeah, that's
or
nice.
Like the bay on Long Island would freeze so much you could drive on it.
I would not advise.
I mean, that sounds terrifying, but like, all right. Yeah. It was the 70s. People didn't know. Or they did, because I don't know.
They were all drunk driving.
We're safe. And then speaking of crooning, Tim, I guess you consider this guy a crooner, Nat King Cole.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, it seems like he's a crooner, but he's not part of, like, we're talking about, like, the Rat Pack when we're talking about crooners, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, you're a 90s kid.
Mm-hmm.
If your main...
crooner.
If your main impression of Nat King Cole is the unforgettable duet with Natalie Cole.
Yeah.
That's all.
Whatever. Natalie Cole, that was by far her biggest hit, right?
Yeah.
Because it was basically, you know, like her dad's song.
Yeah.
But it was, I remember that song was huge. That was like a big duet.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was also like the beginning of like, look at what we were able to do. We were able to bring Nat King Cole back from the dead using computers. And it's like, no, it's just,
you just sang over the record.
it's just the old record. Like, they didn't even change anything, I don't think. But the Christmas song, it's called, which is Chestnuts Roasting
on an open fire.
That's a cozy ass song.
You know what? Like, if it's snowing out,
yeah,
and it's late at night and you got a whiskey,
mm-hmm.
put that song on.
Yeah,
you're gonna get all freaking Christmased up.
That album Natalie Cole put out, did she just do that on like all his songs? Like, is there a version of like chestnuts roasting, like her just singing the same line right after?
I can't remember. No. I think that was the only one.
Oh, okay.
It was called With Love. I don't know. I'm getting it mixed up with the SNL sketch.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, I think it was, the album was called Natalie Cole Sings With All Of Her Dad's Old Dead Friends. And like, it was just an excuse to like trot out old impressions.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I don't think she did like a duet album the way that Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett did duets albums.
Right. Okay. All right. Let me talk about the little bit less traditional Christmas songs, Tim, and see what you think about them. First one I got here, Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
Yeah, that's very. It appeared first on A Very Special Christmas, Tom. That benefits the album.
Oh,
from the
okay.
80s.
I feel like that's one you don't hear it like in department stores and stuff. It's
I
like
think
a
you do nowadays.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I guess I don't go to department.
I
stores.
I went to Macy's the other day.
And were they playing Christmas in Hollis?
Yeah,
I feel like
loop.
It's a big movie, like Christmas movies, and it's like we're gonna cut to like the next day, and we're gonna show establishing shots of New York City at Christmas time in the morning. That's when you get the bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, it's a pretty good song. It's it makes you wonder,
mm-hmm.
or it doesn't make you wonder, why there aren't more hip hop Christmas hits.
Yeah. Fairy Tale of New York by The Pogues.
The Interesting Man's favorite Christmas song.
A Celtic punk song with a bittersweet narrative, considered a Christmas classic in the UK and Ireland. I know you hate this song.
No, I actually...
You hate people that like this song.
No, I really like this song, so I don't... And I don't really hate myself, Tom.
And he just died.
Yeah, he did. Shane McGowan.
Yeah.
No, I think... Look, I mm-hmm. just... I don't like the kind of person who's like, Christmas songs, not really my cup of tea, then takes a drag from a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose if I had to choose, Fairy Tale of New York is definitely number one in my book. You know, like those guys.
Yeah.
But like, that's a fantastic song. It's a lovely song. It's got a slur in it, but everybody's level-headed about it.
I don't know it well enough to know.
It's the F word slur.
Okay.
But it's like from a character, essentially.
Like a bad character.
Yeah, it's the same way that it's used in Money for Nothing.
Right.
Where it's like, no, that it doesn't reflect.
He's not saying it. He's talking about some hillbilly saying it.
Yeah, yeah.
Father Christmas by the Kinks.
Yeah.
That's
Father Christmas, bring me some money. Right? Like, very cool.
Yeah.
The Kinks, like, they were so cool, and then they were less cool, I guess, right?
What do you mean?
They were so cool in the 60s.
Yeah.
And I think, like, first half of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't as cool after that.
Okay. So you just said the same thing again.
Yeah, I put a little bit more, I put dates to it.
Yeah.
Non-specific dates, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the Kinks that well, but yeah, I guess that's kind of my read on them too, that they had their time in the sun and people still love stuff from that era, but yeah.
People love the arena rock, like, you know, bombastic Kinks too. Not me though.
No.
I'm a bit of a more discerning music
right.
consumer.
Right, you like Fairy Tale of New York. Eight Days of Christmas by Destiny's Child. Do you know that one?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't know that one either. But
Beyonce's on that.
I would assume it's Destiny's Child, yeah. So she would have to be. Don't
I like Beyonce? Beyonce's cool.
Well, hot take, Tim.
Yeah. You talk about a lady who doesn't sound like Jodie Foster when she sings.
No, she doesn't sound like Jodie Foster at all when she
sings. She's great, yeah.
Don't Shoot Me Santa by The Killers. I don't know that one either.
No, people love The Killers.
People really do.
Yeah. I don't know anything about them.
I know.
Everybody's like, oh, you know what the Millennium Anthem is? It's the Millennial Anthem is Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard that song.
You've heard it. But I agree with you.
Like this, I'm sure I've heard it. Mm-hmm. This is if you were like put a gun to my head, you're like sing Mr. Brightside. I'd go, mm-hmm. I'm Mr. Brightside.
Yeah, that's
does
it.
That happen at some
yeah,
point?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Mr. Brightside.
See, I don't know that near part.
You'd recognize it.
Put it on here.
And then he
after
says,
this, we'll listen to Underneath the Tree.
Coming
and
out of my cage and I'm doing just fine. Gotta be down because I want it all. Something like that. Yeah, The Killer, interesting band. Like, I get why they're popular, but like, but they're more popular than I understand, I think.
Yeah. That's true. And like, I don't fault them. I'm sure they're great. I mean, a lot of people whose opinions I really respect love The Killers.
Yeah.
But they're like slightly younger than me. So it's
right.
Like, but I can kind of respect your musical opinions, but I also think like, if you were smart enough to be a little older, you wouldn't like them as much.
Well, they're a Las Vegas band.
Yeah, which is weird.
The rare Las Vegas band. And I feel like that there's like something we're like too old of millennials to like be like, cool band can't be from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
but hey, they got catchy songs and seems like people like them. I've never like heard anything bad about them, you know, like any of them being like real dicks or anything like that.
Yeah.
Seems like they just kind of play their music.
Brendan Flowers?
Yeah, yeah. I think Brandon Flowers, yeah.
Flowers. It's a girl's last name.
Well, what about this one, Tim? Speaking of girls, Oi to the World by No Doubt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was that in their real ska punk phase?
Well, yeah, a ska punk Christmas song originally by the Vandals.
Oh, okay.
And covered by No Doubt, I think, on like maybe like a compilation or it was a B-side or something like that. Must Be Santa by Bob Dylan.
Have you heard this, Tom?
I mean, that
came out in like 2010. He didn't write it, but Must Be Santa.
Must Be Santa.
Yeah, but like, all right. What you're doing is like 80s Dylan.
Uh-huh.
This is, you know, 2011 Dylan.
Okay.
Like, there's too much tonality there, Tom.
It's just...
Yeah. And he made a video for it, and it was much like... Look, people got to stop being... Like, people are like, what the heck? He made a Christmas album and this... It's like... And it's the same thing that, like... 15 years earlier when it was like, what the heck? He's in a Victoria's Secret commercial. It's like,
what the heck?
Gonna...
He's gone electric?
Yeah, he's going to do stuff. And
he's
going to blow your goddamn mind. Just be cool about it.
People are just constantly surprised by Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Constantly surprised that, like, I don't know, he just, like, does... seems to not give a shit and does things for money that people thought he wouldn't do, but they're basing that on who he was 50 years ago.
And he was just like, you know what? When I was 50 years ago, I wasn't like that even. You guys were wrong about me.
I got a taste of the good life. Yeah.
Bob Dylan's cool. Hey, here we go. To my two hot takes.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce's cool.
And Bob Dylan's cool. And the last one I have on my list here is Christmas Unicorn by Sufjan Stevens.
Sufjan
Stevens.
All right. He's got a lot of Christmas music.
Does he?
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably a song I've heard, but I don't know
you
it.
Probably haven't heard it. Right. He's got like a ton of like...
You probably haven't heard
no,
it.
No, like his... Like, he writes a lot of
it's
original.
It's not played in places.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, like, do you know other Sufjan Stevens songs? Because they're like been played in like the grocery store.
I feel like there's one, but I couldn't tell you
yeah,
what it is.
Probably that Chicago song.
Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. The windy city that we love so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that one.
Tom?
Mm-hmm.
Here are some maligned songs that are unfairly maligned.
Okay. Let me do the plugs, and then you can tell me the maligned
fuck you.
Songs.
I get to talk. The Waitresses.
Oh, that was on my list, and I didn't know it, so I skipped it.
Christmas Rapping.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And then the saxophonist who recently passed away.
Yeah, it's a good Christmas saxophone.
Paul McCartney, Wonderful Christmas Time.
Well, some people don't like that.
They're wrong. The song rules. It entered the pantheon of Christmas music.
Yeah.
How, you can't do that if the song stinks.
You can if you're Paul McCartney.
Somewhere in My Memory, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
The Home Alone theme song.
Somewhere in my
The whole Home Alone soundtrack, Tom. In my house, once in a while, mm-hmm. I'm just putting on that whole John Williams soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
you're talking about when you're like, oh, I like the classical music. What you really mean is you like the Home Alone soundtrack, and that's okay.
Well, I guess I'm not super familiar with all of John Williams' music, but that has to be, maybe he's done other Christmas scores, but that has to be the most famous one, and like...
100%. Yeah.
And hearing somebody, you know, that did Star Wars and Superman and Jaws, right?
Yeah.
Like all these super famous soundtracks to like hear him take on a Christmas movie.
Yeah. And he didn't need to like write, like that's his best soundtrack. That's his best work.
Better than Star Wars and Superman?
Tom.
Indiana Jones? Dan, 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 dan.
My problem with Star Wars and Superman, they sound so similar.
Yeah. Dan, 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 dan. It's, dan, dan, it's dan, Darth dan, Vader. And... Darth Vader. He's here to save the day.
Yeah. Well, he's the bad guy. You were wrong, Tom.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that first Superman and that first Star Wars came out like a year apart.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, man, I forgot to write the...
Forgot the other movie.
I knew I was...
Just move this note here and this note here, they'll never know. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. You can check out our social media there. You can find links to our Discord, our subreddit.
You can talk after the plugs, Tim.
You can also follow
I got
us.
Something to say. I got things to say, Tom.
You can follow me on social media at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at Your Pal, Tim.
And check out our Patreon, patreon.com/complete guide, where is the most comfortable time of the year.
A bunch of songs I've never heard, and wait for Tim, who he can wait till after the plugs.
Patreon.com/complete guide. Books the podcast. We're reading the Forrest Gump sequel, Gump and Co. right now. You can listen to that. You can listen to all the back ones. You can get episodes early, episodes ad-free, anything you like. Patreon.com/complete guide.
Books the podcast, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a looser version of this show?
Oh, absolutely, because we recorded after this show.
Yeah. Do we have an extra beer while we're doing it?
Yeah.
Is it just as long and often longer than this show?
Yeah, but it's about books, so it seems
it's elevated.
You know, if you got maybe a significant other who's like, "Oh, are you listening to those two idiots again?" You can go, "Yeah, they're talking about literature, actually."
And
so
then
back off.
Yeah, and then get out of that relationship.
Yeah, get out.
Unhealthy.
Of that. Yeah, dump them. And then we'll activate you. Have you do our bidding to get us back to our home universe. Any closing thoughts on Christmas songs?
Yeah.
One of these years, Tim, we're going to put out Christmas episodes. It's just an hour of us singing Christmas songs a cappella.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, my voice isn't there this year.
Not this year. You've been hacking into the microphone for the last hour. But
you know what? We'll have to record that episode in March or something so it's ready.
Yeah, we should learn from the Gregory brothers.
It'll be ready next year.
Do you know this song? I don't know what it's called.
All right. We'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.